Okay.
This is during the test of Brahma.
Spirit of the law. Okay.
So when you deal with the candle, you, how we say it, you bend your fingers, so you see your nails and the palm, and you tell the difference between the two of them. So they should be bent like this, not like this, he says.
So the nails are facing the palm.
Yeah, again, that's the point of the read. There's people, I had a teacher when we learned this, he's like, you can go like this if you want, or some people like this, you make like a little, you know, you do whatever you do, I mean, it's okay. But, you know, there's a people that read, that's what one, that's the main point. So it should be a candle of Shavuot. Should be wax. Don't use other candles. Any candle works. Wax is better. We'll see why in a minute, but we're on. So it's also proper to have a torch, as Ari explains.
When you're saying candle of wax, do you mean beeswax or can you use paraffin?
I think he means beeswax most likely. I'm not 100% sure. I'd imagine beeswax. I don't know. So if you're making Abdullah for someone else, you can make Abdullah, but Nair is a problem. Fire is a bayah, so it's better that they should make the bracha on the fire. If they don't know how to make a bracha.
But in a group situation, people say amen.
Right?
People say amen in a group situation.
Yeah, sure.
So that's okay.
If I already made Abdullah, I have
a
problem.
When you make Abdullah,
yeah.
When you make the bracha for the fire, for the rage, everybody's going to make it, right? In a good situation.
Sure.
So go like this.
Well, you have to see, though. You have to see the difference. You have to be able to see the difference at different points. So if you're not close enough, sometimes it's like...
No, really?
Yeah.
You're in the back of the group of 200 people.
You have a problem.
You have a problem.
But the Chabad Chaim didn't make a bracha on the summit. When he made Abdullah in public, he didn't do Bissam. So listen, why did you do Bissam? He said, the candle is a halacha from the Gemara, it's an obligation, absolute obligation. Nobody gets that. You're running after Bissam. Afterwards, everyone's going to get Bissam. It's fine. So I got to do the candle, and the people will say, oh, it's only a candle if you're very careful. You come closer and see. He said, Bissam, sometimes you get so confused, you forget about the candle. The candle is more important than Bissam.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
so you can
time.
You can complete the candle and then go back to the
same.
If you're passing around the best name.
Hmm?
If you're passing around the best name, that
should be fine. Yeah, but you have to wait. He was doing it for a community that they weren't waiting. They didn't. If they're so careful running after the summon that they're missing the candle. If you get the candle, everyone will get their own summon. It's fine. It'll work. You rely on that opinion if you don't have a choice. One opinion says it's better the brachos are a chain of one unit. So you can't really do one another. We all, if you have to, you can do them at different times. The Gemara says if you don't have, you definitely do them at different times. So, you know, we do our best, that's all. So he said, if I don't do candle now, if I do some first, candle's going to be out for many people. So forget it. That's what they have here.
So the candle separates the sacred from the profane. More than just me.
The candle is getting... grip on nature. A grip on nature.
Your
back, your hip with nature, yeah. That's what we saw a little bit before.
Now, who should hold the candle?
Hmm?
Who should hold the candle?
I'm sure you don't want to be facetious here. Who should hold the candle? I mean, whoever wants to hold the candle is fine. You know? It's okay. Anybody can hold the candle. I mean, the main thing is to have mind focus that this is nature and I have to learn how to temper nature. It could be that you're right, that there is someone who can channel more of the light of the candle. I don't know. I can't. I'm just regular. I don't know how to... People maybe know how to do all sorts of things. I have no idea. I was just reading a lesson today. So this parsha, last parsha. Wow, the lesson says we do like other when you remove the non-kosher stuff from in a pot or something. He said you are destroying evil, and you can like get rid of some wicked person. You can just like either he'll do tshuva or it's like perhaps like that's what it seemed to come out. Like, that is amazing. I can like remove the evil. Like, wow, I was like that's pretty amazing. Have in mind now this one like whoa, that's pretty. But I don't know, you know how tall candles I have to know. I just don't. It could be. You can't deal with nature is a very powerful thing. But I don't know. I just think this. I haven't seen anything about it. I just don't really know.
I mean, me and my wife, my daughter-in-law, and my two unmarried girls.
Mm-hmm.
So should they, my two unmarried girls, get priority because they're not married yet?
I don't know. Certainly not to insult anyone, but I honestly don't know. The mother obviously gets, you know, your wife obviously gets priority because she's the most respectable person that she wants. Sometimes I want to give it over, so I give it over. But I don't have a particular rule in my house. And the kids like to play with fire, no, they're allowed to light the candle. That's all I know.
Well, when you say age, you mean obviously they have to say amen. But like I've been noticing that there's so many people for Abdallah. Is it also with the reflection in the nail?
You gotta see that. Yeah, but you gotta see from the fire itself.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Some of the people again, they totally. This is a very important point. But Yitzchak doesn't make it because everyone was careful then. I don't think he makes it. And you said before, you have to be able to see. But if your people are,
there's so many people. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like you know.
And you have to see.
Yeah.
One nail.
You don't have to. You should. I mean, you should be able to tell the difference between two different types of points from the light of the candle itself. If you can't, nothing. Not, you know.
So amen. Amen doesn't do it.
What do you mean? You're making a bracha on something, and presumably you didn't do that thing. Like the song, you may say amen on bracha on something you didn't smile. I mean. Nice, he said. I mean, it's wonderful, but you didn't.
Like if somebody,
you know, you didn't do
somebody,
it.
Yeah, if somebody's eating pretzels and they say the bracha, and then somebody else says amen, and mm-hmm. they hear it, they don't have to eat the pretzels.
That's right. They don't. No, it's actually a weird case. I hope this won't confuse you, but sometimes you have a guy making kiddush, right? We talked about this, I think. You have a guy making kiddush. He's a doctor. He makes kiddush. He tastes a little sip. He's about to drink, you know, pour the little in. He's about to drink, make a drop. As he's like, just going to drink, he gets a beeper, and that means he has to run. Someone's going to die if he doesn't drink. Like, just he didn't drink. You know, he didn't drink anything. Or he didn't drink. He drank a little bit, not enough. He has to do another kiddush. Everyone remembered his kiddush. As long as they drank enough of the wine or ate their cake, it's fine. Someone drank that cup. It's fine. So he didn't get kiddush, but they all got kiddush. You know, he's the guy who did the bracha to begin with. That's a little more complicated, but like it's the same idea. Like if you didn't do it though, how could I not be discharged my obligation to Kiddush? I discharged 200 people's obligation to Kiddush with my Kiddush. I got called away, it wasn't my fault. We don't really care. If you didn't eat or drink at the place, you're not able to Kiddush, period. It doesn't help you to explain. The explanation doesn't do anything. You did a great school with Ashrecha, you did not eat Kiddush though. You didn't do Kiddush. You have to do Kiddush. That's
it. And may I say another thing? Interestingly enough, people do with they do a late meal, then they eat the third meal,
mm-hmm.
and then they go into the morrow, and there's just a short amount of time to bench. So I heard that a person can extend that meal. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it soon, I think. Okay. But yeah, you can extend the meal as long as you want. As long as you want, as long as you're eating every 72 minutes, at least something. You can continue and keep on going as much as you like.
When
there are places where it's till 4 in the morning. It's 4 a.m. He's like, you know, out of my.
When you're holding a tish cup, you're holding in the right hand.
Unless you're a lefty. If you're lefty, it's a machlokes.
Okay.
If you're a righty, definitely. Let's see. Rav Nachman says, listen, let's face it. Fire is din. Judgment. Fire is judgment. I mean, that's pretty strong judgment, fire, in terms of nature. So you are tempering, you're lighting a fire now, and you're careful to use it the right way. That's the idea. That's what he wants to say. Basically, what he's saying is you have to take the nature and put it into the domain of Shabbos. Hold on to Shabbos. I want the domain of Shabbos to be there. I want to take that and bring it to above nature. That's what Nostan says. Take the fire and put it above me. That's what I want to do. It's nature. It's going above nature. Shabbos, not above nature. Above nature. I don't want to be in nature. No, definitely not. I want to be above nature. That's the first opinion. And that's the beginning of the Shabbos in general. Shabbos is Shinayin and Valkei. I think we spoke about this already. Shabbos, Shinayin, Valkei, above K. They have a different begin, two different beginnings of Vav is like a channel, and the K is bringing down as a vessel to receive the influx from on high. And Shin Ayin is 370 super illuminations. Basically, it lights, you're supposed to be lit up from above. That's it. That's it, you're supposed to like do light up. That's what it's brought down. Shining face. You're supposed to be in place of shining face. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. That's the idea of what Abdullah is. That's where we're reaching. That's where we're grasping on Abdullah.
What does it mean to? I mean, I hear the words, get a grip on nature. I have no idea what that means.
Excellent. You're doing very well. I mean, I'll tell you. There are many stages. That's the truth. There are stages and stages. There's one stage where a person wants to remember Hashem in nature. That's, we do that by making a bracha, thinking about what I'm saying. We don't want to be like the book Kelm says, you don't want to be like a 3-year-old, right? The 3-year-old knows to say thank you, todah, thank, right? So if you say, so what does that mean? He has no idea. He doesn't know what that means. What does that mean, a thank you? What are you saying there? It's like it's just manners. He doesn't know. That's what you do. It's like, you know, when someone old, you pull the door for them. I don't know why. It's just what you do. Let's say that's hopefully well trained. I don't know why. So we're also sort of a little bit like we want to be in a different place. I'm wanting to get nature under, you know, Hashem. That's what I want. My nature, I want to be under Hashem. And the first step of nusnas, there's just no end of the times you need to repeat this and remember this and internalize this somehow, which is that you have to be happy, and I have to be happy with who I am right now. If not, if nothing says, you cannot, think progress is not going to happen. So progress, first of all, I'm happy with who I am now. Even though, what? Happy with what? Okay, that's a good point. Hashem may be this way, I have my pluses, I have my minuses. I have to be happy with that now. My mitzvahs, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm doing. And then, slowly but surely, try to say, you know, I have this Nefesh Bahamas, I have to try to bring Hashem with that Nefesh Bahamas. I want to bring it to Hashem. Adu Behemo Toshia Hashem. That's the same idea. That's exactly the same idea. The Ari says, Adu Behemo Toshia Hashem. You have an aspect where you're an Adam. You have an aspect where you're a Ma. You have an aspect where you're a Minch, you're a human being. And you have an aspect where you're a Behem. Toshia Hashem. So, Toshia, the Ari says, is tough. Bro? No, it's tough. Yud Shin Ayin, right? Shin Ayin. So you have to take the Shin Ayin illuminations. Here we are, Mincha time, right? We just said to Kaspa. You take this same 370 illuminations that you now are available, easy on Shabbos, and you bring them, you shine them into the tough Yud is what's really going on the Yodea Talumos, right? The very last two words of Anav Koach are Yodea Talumos. Those are the two words which we access in Mincha. That's Mincha Shmon Esrei. That's what we just got to. Yodea Ta'alumos is Yotav. Then we have Shin Ayin, right? Toshia Hashem. You have this Vav, which is either a Tzino or you don't even have to write it with the Vav, it doesn't matter. Next year you have Tav Yud, that's what we got. Yodea Ta'alumos means who knows the hidden things. It means Hashem, I want this to affect every single part of myself, to have a deep, deep emunah that everything has a reason, and everything is for you, and there's no such thing as nature anyway, it's just an illusion. And I want to bring it in. That's what Mincha is about. This place, we're yearning, we're wanting, we're hoping. That's the first thing. Then Abdullah is one of the ideas of Abdullah, bringing it in. You let, you have nature, and you're trying, I want my nature to be with Hashem. I want to automatically do what Hashem wants. Sometimes we're on fire for Hashem, and then we're like, we're just moving. Something's moving us. That's what we want to get to. And that's, again, easy to speak about. And it's good that we're speaking about it and yearning for it. And maybe one day we'll actually get it. I'm hoping. That's a shame. At least we can say we want it, which is all worthwhile. It's the Chafetz Chaim. What does the Chafetz Chaim went to sell his safe to someone at Lashon Hara? I think I told the story here. I don't remember. He said, I can't buy this book. My whole livelihood is in an office where people speak about people. Then you come up with business and ideas and this. That's what we do. And I can't. I mean, I buy this book. I'm just going to devastate. I'll feel like a nobody every day. I can't do that. What's the point? Okay, so I'm going to the seventh, whatever, wherever I'm going, the seventh furnace or whatever it is. I don't know what to tell you. What's that going to help me? To read sometimes? No, you must buy this book. See, because if you feel bad or you don't want to be there, even if you have no choice, it's much, much better than doing it not caring, not thinking. You're yearning, you're wanting, that's very, very big. It's already, you did tremendous things. You did amazing, especially with us, don't want to do anything. It's like, unbelievable. You think, you know, what is your name? It's like really special. Except when you have to fill out something. You don't have to fill something out. You don't remember your name. You're just always involved in the news a lot. You can't think, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? No idea. So, that's the kids of the idea. So, Mincha, we already accessed the Shinayim. We want to bring in this idea that with Abdullah. That's what we're trying to, that's our attempt. That's what we're yearning to do. That's what we're trying to do.
So, we're trying to merge ourselves with something.
Hashem. Yeah, with the real fire, with the real, with what it's for. That's what it's there for. The whole about fire is also the Yetzirah Ra. That means all the fire shouldn't be on anger at so-and-so mistreated me, or didn't mistreat me, or said, or didn't say, or whatever, all these silly things. Instead, it should be, when am I going to be with, you know, when am I going to do what you brought me here for? When am I going to do? When am I going to do that? When am I going to, when is that going to happen? You know,
so if you feel that, you let somebody else do that who doesn't feel that. That could be dangerous. That could be a danger. You might say, oh, this is good humor, you let this person do a dollar, but they're kind of like doing it funny and they don't really mean it. That's like dangerous. Maybe it's nicer and kinder not to ask that person to do a dollar as a form of humor. But if you're feeling this and you understand it, you should do that dollar.
You're
so
right.
He doesn't have that danger.
Very often, you're right. You'd most almost always be correct, because the Rebbe says that a person who's a v'china of a tzaddik, and he doesn't only mean, are you perfect? Do you have this level beyond that level? It means at this time, can I be connected when I'm doing it or not? Me, who I am, as I am. So if I can be, and the other person can't be, he says, this shlech tzibur, you're supposed to be picking up the whole community. You're supposed to pick up the minyan. That's why when you're davening for the Amid, you have to really give it everything. There's no excuses. Even yourself, it's really, what's a good excuse? But you can say, okay, whatever, I'm crying, I need to, I don't need to, I'm upset, I'm not upset. It doesn't matter, you have to pick everybody else up. So if you don't, then it's a bayah. That's what you said, you're building the Mishkan now. What do you mean? You're making it, if you can't, so give someone who can. That's true. But I just put this on a clear, that was also Thursday, I got the whole bus ride, I got a phone call from this student in America, and he's like, what do I do here, what do I do there? And one of his problems was, he has relatives who are not religious. He's like, what do I do with these? Well, it's not religious. Whatever, they're being in the neighborhood for Shabbos, whatever, do I do? Do I, like, avoid them? My sisters in law, they're like, but they're not religious. Like, what do I do about it? It's my kids, and I respect my kids, not sneers. It's not good for the kids. So we spoke about it, but I said, the first thing you have to realize is that there's an angle you might be missing, which is that if you invite them, and like you say, they're going to be respectful of Shabbos for that hour or whatever, then you did them a big, big, big favor. You gave them something. While if you don't invite them, they lost an hour, and when the time comes, they'll say, okay, we did not know what Shabbos is. Okay, we heard about it, we thought it wasn't serious. We had a way of doing a week, or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, an hour of Shabbos. Why did you take that away from us? Shabbos is like doing all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, doing all the mitzvahs of Torah. That's even a second of Shabbos, even a minute of Shabbos, if you keep Shabbos. They know there's a religious thing to keep Shabbos. They're refraining out of respect for what? For the Torah, and those who understand the Torah need Shabbos. And deep down, like Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach says, they're thinking, well, listen, if you have to keep Shabbos, so I'm keeping it now, like whatever, they're not. If you say, well, this is not really keeping Shabbos, is it? They would say, well, it doesn't obligate me, but yeah, I mean, yeah, why not? If it was food, if it's a merit, why not? I would do it. I mean, yeah, okay. I don't understand it. To me, it doesn't speak to me, but I hear that. So you have to have a good reason to say no. You have to have a great reason to say no. Because, gosh, really, you know, maybe I should make a thing out of it. Definitely, of course. We can talk about maybe how you do that. I don't know if you need me to talk about how you do that. It's like very, you know, try to, you know, your mini Shabbos, whatever it is, just try to pick it up. In terms of his kids, I told him, you know, you're right, but if they're exposed anyway to such things, he said, well, my God, him, or whatever. parents are also not the best dressers, the best dressers. It's only a little more, a little less. And that age doesn't matter. Especially if you're in terms of telling people, saying goodbye, we don't want to see you, or avoiding them if they respect you, because you're, right, so we have this, like, this long discussion. But, like, so sometimes when you give someone to do Abdullah, that's the only thing he feels in Jewishness. No strength in Jewish identity. So sometimes it's like, it's also a cheshbon. It's also not so clear. I don't know what to do. I don't know, maybe you keep it to him. Because you're helping somebody, it's not for me, it's building someone's emunah. The Mitzvah Rebbe Chabad says, he talks about, I think, missing this man's tefillah, like, you know, some people like daven, who knows when they daven, like halachically. Sometimes it's hard to defend, sometimes it's virtually impossible to defend, or impossible to defend, depending when they exactly daven, and what they're doing, and where they're holding. So he says, if you're building your emunah, you're davening with real connections, so then you're doing a total commandment. All the rabbinic questions is if you're doing it, like, half-fast. He said, if you're really, really connected, that's how you do it, so it's fine. That's what he says. So that's the Chabad approach, his mantfila and whatever else. For our perspective, again, I don't know what they would say. If you're after Chatzos, what do you do? From our perspective, even if you do daven, which is, it's a stretch a bit, but let's say you daven, you have to know that your Shmoneh Esrei is mincha, and your mincha shacharis, that's a mishnah. It's very hard to explain otherwise why you daven shacharis. That's it. There's no covenant talmud. It's over. History. Gone. Goodbye. No. So you have to have mind. This is my mincha. Presumably. There's one opinion not like that. There's a Drisha who has a very novel approach to stating Gemara, and he goes his own way. But usually you have in mind, if a person knows a little something, says, I know I'm davening mincha. And I'm davening shacharis. Okay, yeah, I'm after Chatzos. Okay, I know I'm relying on the Rambam, whatever. That's, again, it's very, there are a lot of opinions who argue strongly. Shulchan Aruch Rav, certainly the custom Chabad is like that. He's like, I don't know what the halacha is. The kids are also brings two opinions. Doesn't say what the halacha is. They're relying on those who do it. I mean, whatever. The Chassidim, as one of my great wrestler, actually, a very great wrestler, a teacher said, he said, the Chassidim, they daven whenever it is, because how can you not daven? I mean, you can't not daven. There's no, you're missing something. I can't not daven. So that's a different approach of how to look at it, but. Whether you can apply that to the Mitzvah Rebbe's his logic and say, okay, whenever you daven is fine, where's your focus? Again, I don't know. That's maybe other people argue, but in terms of giving someone else a mitzvah, it's for sure true. I gave him his emunah back. He feels, you know, he's back on fire. Maybe if that's the question, so then you can connect with it a different way. You know, it's not worth it. My trip isn't worth it to mess up his possible form of emunah. Sometimes. I told them also, Shabbos, your Kippur Shabbos, especially if you're Kiddush, your Kippur Shabbos can also just kind of like light them up and wake them up. Because you have your mind, because they're doing it, you're doing it. It's a very good, that's a great, great thing. So that's the basic. But you're right, generally speaking, it's not only someone else, me also. Us also, each of us also, when I go to do Abdullah, I should really be focused. Now's the time when I'm doing a big avodah. It's very, again, it's easy. We're talking about it because we're hoping it'll come to us, but it's very easy to drop the ball. It's very easy. Especially our family, you have whatever you have around you, and it's very, like, it can be, you know, it can be a little bit hard. And okay, that's tailored design for me. That's exactly what Hashem wants. This kid's in school, this kid's not in school, this is okay. That's what Hashem wants, not a problem. That's what it, so it's impossible? It's impossible. Is it really impossible? It's not really impossible. Do it best, I'll try, and I'll work on it, Robin about it, talk about it, and hope Hashem will help, and we'll go. So I'll finish mine. Great questions. Zones. Okay, so the Ben Shkai continues. Never. See, he experienced easily what I was just talking about. Ben Shkai really. Some people, they have it so hard. That when they're hearing Abdullah in shul or something, they're sort of busy with other things. He said, one guy, he needs to put on his shoes. He has to locate his shoes. Another person doesn't know where his son is. Where did he go? Another guy. My friend's just about to, like, cut out right after Abdullah. To the door, I'll sort of drift over to him. Again, a few other people are ready to leave. The minute it's over, so that what happens is they forgot completely about Habdallah. Habdallah is, you have to pay attention. You're having something done now. You're supposed to be connected. So, he said, look at the cup and pay attention. Till then.
That's how the bench guy explains what we're supposed to be doing with Abdullah.
But that's this is the whole process we're supposed to be doing. Abdullah has this entire. It's a. It's an avoda. It's a divine service. What I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to learn discernment between what's holy and not holy. It's the same thing about what's true and not true during the week. Tzaddik, not a tzaddik, who's where? Where do I fit in? It's important to know where I am, who I am, who this person is, who that person is, as much as I can. I like just to search for the truth. Not in a bad way, in a good way, in an honest way. He says, that's the main, that stresses one's emunah very much. He says, you know, this is where I am, this is where I'm supposed to be, Hashem, that's what the Abdullah is. He wants to figure out, say, you know, this is an avoda, discerning truth from falsehood, darkness from light, Jew from non-Jew. That's a big avoda, it's a very big fight. Who am I? What am I doing in the world? What am I here? What am I going to have? What's happening to me? So pay attention. You have to be paying attention. If you're like looking for your shoes, it's not so likely that you're going to have any chance whatsoever of doing any focus on listening to Abdullah in the right way. So try to focus, try to be connected in whatever way you can. At the very least, stand still. Don't walk back and forth. So just try to focus on what's being said and what's happening.
Between
Warren and Abdullah, they say you're really less used to eat. Not allowed to eat. Not allowed to eat. No eating. You can drink water. Not a pikabala, but a simple sources. Maybe sell to a tea, perhaps. Right. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. But Chavachayim says, I'm not sure. But he says, it doesn't matter. The reason you're not allowed anyway. He said, but I'm not sure whether this tea included. Seltzer, I presume, it is included. Like, it could be, it's not clear what exactly water means. I don't know.
But I just thought it was interesting because I thought, oh, what happens if somebody's a shul and got gemarid? They say that between, say, they can use electricity, they turn on the car, they drive home. So now they're 20 minutes away, but they use electricity.
It's okay. Again, it's better not to do malacha till Abdullah if you have a choice.
Okay.
But many people do, like you said, many people, they do it. They do a lot of they drive to shul, they drive back from shul, which is people do. It's not I'm not going to do shul because I can do malacha. It's like a mistake. I can do malacha. The Shlomo Zalman speaks about an interesting case of somebody whose Yom Kippur is really going hard. He's going to fast, but it's hard for him. He says now he's done. He's not in shul where they make Abdullah. Everyone's going home to make Abdullah. That's it. So he just wants to take a drink of water before Abdullah. So he said, because you're allowed to drink water before Abdullah, and you're fasting, so you can, if you have to, you take a drink without any, you have to wait for Abdullah. What was it after the time? Down Meyer, even before Meyer passes, going after the time, you say, Baruch Mar, go to the fall, and you take a drink. He said, that can work. As long as it's after the time. You don't have to wait for Abdullah, you know, you can drink, you need a drink, take a drink. That's what he said. That's what Shlomo Zalman. Excellent, use a good company. Shabbat Shalom.
I remember the first time, I didn't know that for a long time. So at the shul, we'd always have a nice shalosh shabbos, and we would have a bench. And I'm thinking, I might grab something from the table on the way up to the daven morning. And once this rabbi, who used to daven at our shul regularly, this is a pretty big rabbi in Baltimore. He said, you're not supposed to do that. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you don't eat between, you know, Mar and Abdullah. I said, oh, thank you for telling me.
Sure. Well, Hashem.
Yeah. Kept me from sinning.
Hopefully he did it right. Sounds like
it. Wasn't upset about it. Sounds like it. Didn't know. There was a lot I remember.
Baruch Hashem.
Thank
you. Now you're reminding me of the story with the Baal Tanya and the Batkin. Like, Baal Tanya one time was in a wedding. And this, like, Batkin, this guy was, you know, making jokes. But everybody there, big Hasidic master, small, it didn't matter who you were, he, like, pegged you. he just like said something hilarious. But he was a little afraid of the Baal Tamer. He was a very tense. The Baal Tamer is an intense person. He's like, no, I'm not making fun of him. So when he was done, he gets to tell Baal Tamer, says, what about me? So he's like, well, if you're asking already, then I'll give it to you. Like, he didn't say good to you. Like, okay. He said, I was thinking, what's the difference between me and you? What's the difference between Rebbe and me? He said, okay, my knowledge, my connection is nothing compared to the Rebbe's. But compared to what there is, the Rebbe's is also nothing. So they both looked at each other for a minute, and then they both burst out into tears. Anyway.
I understand.
So yeah, lots of people don't know a lot. He was pointing out how far away we are, how much there is to go. And then I guess the Barchin cried because he was a little joke compared to who he could have been. And here he has somebody who got where he could have been. And the Valtani cried because he realized how far he felt he had to go. Presumably. I would guess if I could do it. I would assume that's a child. And that we have to really, you know, on the one hand, we have to, the rest of it is the other way, right? We say, I have a lot to go, but you know, everyone has a lot to go. And thank you, Hashem, for every little bit. And the Rebbeinu Yonah says that the non-Jewish wise men say, if you love wisdom, you are wise. I love learning, and I love it, I'm trying. That's amazing, Baruch Hashem. Do my best, do a little bit of time. Thank God I know now, Baruch Hashem. Quit my whole life, without knowing. Knowing anyway means really knowing, of course. It's really knowing. It doesn't help to know here. I mean, it's mostly here. So. He said, here we are in Baghdad, one person makes a dollar for many. What do I do if a guy doesn't hear well and can't hear? He doesn't have one. He used to be an expensive commodity, not anymore, but he used to be very expensive. So he said the same thing as he said before. He said, I have a way to help you. You don't have one. The guys make a dollar, you can't hear because you're hard of hearing. He said, look at the cup and say the bracha of dollar with the chazan. Then it's b'di'evit, but it works. You rely on those opinions if you're in a clutch. He said the same thing before by Kiddush, if you have to. Again, if you have wine, you can't rely on this. But if you don't have wine, you can. He said, don't tell me you're supposed to hold the cup. He's got no choice. He's just a cup. What's he supposed to do? He can't. The person who says Adela should drink the cup, you don't have to give anybody else. Can't drink it. Drink a little and give someone else to finish it, others to finish it. The custom is to spill a little of the wine on the floor for a good sign. We'll talk about that in a minute, I guess, does Hashem. Do this after you finish drinking, not before. He says, this people do a little differently. We pour in the cup, we pour a little off, and then we put the fire out, and then we take the wine and put on our forehead or wherever you're going to put it. So he says, before you pour from the cup, you should take and put on your forehead for a good sign. That's what he says.
Before what?
Before you pour the wine out, drink and then take out, and then pour it. That's what he says. Okay, we don't, that's practice. Those who do this, whatever it may be, is when you pour it, put out the fire, and then you drink.
But for Shemitah, you don't do that.
Not if you're using Shemitah wine. Definitely not. But Shemitah wine for adults, anyway, no, you're supposed to pour a little over, unless you have no choice. If you have no choice, you can drink every drop. Oh, you don't. Shani Rachim. Hearing rumors about the Rabbanut. I'm hoping they're not true. Hoping not. That's a shame. No. I'm hearing rumors about the Rabbanut in Kashrut in general, and I hope they're not true. I haven't seen anything, but I heard some things that don't sound good. And like I said, I hope they're not true.
So you're not reading that from the book. That's
no, just remembering, okay. We're doing a Shemitah, it's like, you have to have, you know, right now you say it's a body, it's a rabbinic body, well, it's under the government, but, you know, they're pretty honest, and we're keeping halacha. And those who learn them say, you know, how bad is the standard after all? They're fine, they're Jewish, a Jewish country, who's going to want to mess them up? I mean, but if what I'm hearing is true, it's not a good sign. I hope it's not true. Shut me up.
Something you don't want on the recording. Something you don't want.
I don't know. I just don't know. I wonder. I hope it's not true. Yep. Just tell the guy he's fired. He won't show up.
And why is it like LA Terrace? Who knows what happened? There's no way to know what happened.
Whereas in LA, we had the same issue. And what happened was the people were bringing in trade meat.
Not the only choice.
And putting in and labeling it as kosher.
Yep.
Well, that's what you expect in LA.
There was something like that in New York also. They put a seal on the door and the seal was broken. They caught it. He tried to. And then it was like, goodbye, good riddance. What can I say? That's sad. It's very sad. People make money. It's a lot of money. Big money. But here's the opposite of that. Here's the person saying, you're a mashgiach kashrut. If you want to keep your job, your understanding of kashrut has to do with our understanding of kashrut, not yours. You don't have the right to understand kashrut. You're just a siphon who's paid. You don't want the job, or find someone else to do your job. And the person who's making the calls is someone who admittedly, probably cares not a whit for kosher. I don't care if it's kosher. You could put some stuff on concrete. There are people who say kosher, so we need pro forma some kind of kosher. And where does it end? Where does it end? When does it end? What happens when they say, we rely on the opinion that anyone who wants to touch wine is not good? There's an opinion like that, maybe. There's some opinion, it's because of Shabbos, it's this, and I can, then it's, so it's trade, but it's kosher. You have to say it's kosher. It becomes ridiculous.
And unfortunately, with the High Court of Injustice, and I do mean injustice, they have forced issues on kashrus, and that turns everything into a joke.
Yep.
I'm not going to say anything more about it.
Hope it's not true. Hope it doesn't work out. That's all I can say.
That's
it.
Yeah.
We certainly do not need anybody. Just him.
Right?
Even Hamas figured it out.
I hear the enemy thing.
Yeah. I heard an interview. We asked one of them, "Do you have a technical problem?"
No, it's on the website. It's on my website.
Right.
They even interviewed. I have an interview from the Egyptian TV station, and they say Hamas is crazy.
He's right. God's protecting us. They got that right. That must they have right. They get 100% on the test. God protecting us. Doesn't make any sense otherwise. No sense. Baruch Hashem.
Does it matter where you're using for vesamim?
Yeah?
For vesamim.
Uh-huh.
Does it matter what you're using for vesamim? Whether it's cinnamon or cloves or garlic or...
Okay, it does a little bit, because the minute it's something which is used for food, it gets complicated. In other words, even cinnamon, you don't know whether you make a bracha, it gives a good smell in fruits, or a bracha, you have something, like what do you do? That makes things a little complicated. Cloves are good because you don't eat cloves.
Mm-hmm.
Here you add it, it's to give a little spice. No, it's like cinnamon, it's already also complicated. Cinnamon sticks may be easier if you don't use them usually for anything else. It's possible to... it's better. It's definitely much better to have something which you're not going to use for food. It's going to use for fruit or something like that. But you use for food, it's probably not. Cinnamon, again, it's like, it's a question. As I remember, cinnamon sticks could be okay, easier, but we use them. If you use them, though, also, again, it gets like maybe complicated. I know how to do this, or to do what to do the Catholic joy. I'm not really sure. We can do the other half. We can do the other half, and we'll see about this half. It's his own thing. He says, when a person doesn't have he doesn't have the ability to buy wine. That's what he's talking about. If you don't have wine, if you have wine in your house, no problem. If you don't have dollar, I don't have wine. So he said, what does that mean? That means the person's lacking completion. This is very sick. Yeah. So I lack completion. If I'm missing something, I have to turn to Hashem for it. If you're not going to hold a button, some say a button or a thread or something, a little tear, you're going to say, Hashem, please send me a button. I mean, like, who does that? So Moses says, what? I can dekach. So the Rebbe says, well, it's not according to your honor to ask Hashem for this thing? It's too below your dignity?
I'm talking about Hashem. Ask him. Anything. Yeah? Give him a thing. Ask him. Please, Hashem, help. Something very good. So we certainly should be asking if I have a hard time with my mood. I'm angry here. I'm having a hard time with this. I have this to deal with, which is difficult. That difficult thing to deal with. Ask him. Why not turn to me using that, all the hardship to bring me to Hashem? Why not do that? Why should I do that? That's what it's for. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to wake me up. It's supposed to say, hey, I don't have money for wine. Please help me. I'm obviously not complete. I'm missing my front door. I'm missing, you know, even fish. So, Shlomo Kalinner said, who doesn't have fish on Shabbos should worry the entire week. So, Rav Nosson said, what, the poor guy, bad enough he didn't have fish, he should worry the whole week. But that doesn't mean we should daven and ask Hashem for it, but helping those that are missing something. The worrying usually is just the killing a person and not helping. But we should ask Hashem, this, I'm missing this, I'm missing that. This is difficult, that's difficult. I should be turning to Hashem and say, please help me. Not in a place where, you know, having a conversation. This is so hard for me, this is difficult for this reason. You should be able to open the conversation with Hashem.
For fish, what's better? Frozen fish or fresh fish from the shuk?
Depends what's tastier and what you like better. Usually fresh fish would be better, presumably. But it depends what you like better.
And what about the heksher?
Fish doesn't need a heksher unless you're worried about worms.
Yes.
You're worried about worms.
I've seen enough horror stories.
There we go. So if you're worried about worms, then you have a little problem. And maybe you should use frozen fish, maybe you use gefilte fish. That's part of why gefilte fish is better. It's ground down. No bones, no problem of borer, and no problem of warmth. Shouldn't be a problem. You maybe ground down, whatever there might have been. We just take a whole leniency there. It's much easier. Much easier. So here we're like, we just let them help them fish without breaking Shabbos. You know? Don't want to take the bones out, don't want Hashem to choke. I don't want worms. So what I do? We have gefilte fish, enjoy. That's it. So, this is why Jewish, that's a custom. Ashkenazim, a lot of places, specifically gefilte fish. That's why it's better.
Do the Sfarim have the equivalent of gefilte fish?
I don't know. Some fish. It depends what. You have to be a little bit up and up of what's okay and what's not okay. And so that's the skin. You have to be this Revaya, the Moshe Vaya checked very careful research into whether or not you have to check fish and which fish. You really need the microscope even. And there are two opinions in the Achronim of whether or not, if you have a worm without knowing, did it damage you spiritually? One opinion says it does, one opinion says it doesn't. It's like the Shlomo Zalman Orbach, when they told him that the fire is going over the microscope, boy, he said, nobody asked him to, once you find out that there's a problem with worms, we have to go check it, but if you don't, you check with your eye, you know what, you don't have to go researching, you're not obligated to go researching to try to find out, is there a problem or not. You have to check, whatever you see.
But normally there are certain species that have a problem.
Huh?
There are certain species of fish.
Yeah, well, if you find, you're fine. You don't have to, you can check whatever you check. You don't have to take a microscope and do a scientific kind of research. And then see later, can I see with my naked eye? And how can you? He said, that is unnecessary. Rabbi Yashu argued, though. Rabbi Yashu held like the other opinion that it damages you, so may as well find out about it. Get rid of it. It's a tool to talk about. But he didn't ask him, or he didn't, maybe he asked somebody else, so he didn't, he went with the more stringent opinion, and he checked. So now you can find out from his book, maybe, or people in his book.
Kashrut Magazine has an excellent articles on it, and their excellent books have.
It could be, I don't know, I'm not familiar with it. So you can rely on those also to say how to check. You check. It's fresh, usually it's okay. Different, about here, about this type of fish, that type of fish. Or by the fish, it's all good. Just make sure, definitely make sure you have worms, for sure. Especially now that we know, no one says it's okay. And so if you don't know, if it's in some book, you gotta check that book. You can't survive it. I don't know any better.